Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I'm the Big Jack, and welcome to the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. That's right, it's a Friday.
Start spreading the news.
You know what that music means. Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
Doing okay, and hey, Frank started to sing very quickly tonight.
Yeah, for a change, that maybe that's a good sign, but we'll see as it goes. Hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, the blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu is still not out there on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any message you might have along to Stu, pretty much regardless of what it is, but we'll see how it goes. Oh, so all right, Stu, we had the fantastic Field of Dreams game, as they call it. You know, the White Sox pulled it out with the fantastic walk-off from Tim Anderson. I don't know if baseball could have rode it any better. Obviously, I didn't get to see the whole thing because of my work schedule, which didn't end up happening the way I had it planned anyways. But how much of the game did you get to watch?
I saw maybe half the game. I saw the ninth inning when Hendricks didn't do the job in closing the game out, and that was a shocker because the White Sox had a 7-4 lead with two outs in the ninth inning.
Yeah, he's had some issues. I think that was like his sixth blown save, but you know, in the end, it didn't really hurt them, so to speak, as they were able to come back and get the big win. So, you know, it all worked out. You know, they get the night off now tonight because they played there. I know they come back. I believe it's Chicago they're playing in,
yes.
Right? They're coming back here. So,
but that was a great game for national TV, a very exciting ball game with a lot of long balls. And
yeah.
And it was really I wonder what kind of a rating they did. I hope they did a good rating for the Field of Dreams game.
And obviously, you know, the one thing that ruins it for me immediately was the fact that Joe Buck was calling it. You know, that just
yeah.
That puts a damper on it right away. So that's, you know, that's always tough. But
it was an impressive
you know,
win for the White Sox on national TV, though. Mm-hmm. And that I think their name is a little bit more recognized out there as an actual contender for the World Series after that win last night.
Yeah, you know, they may still have a little more to prove. You know, I saw some people talking about it. But here I can tell you the game won its time slot with a 1.3 rating share and 5.16 million viewers at 8 p.m., which is 7 p.m. our time. The next show was Big Brother, which did 4.58 viewers. So it definitely drew a rating.
Yeah, and one thing about the outcome of that game is that it certainly hurt the Yankees more than it would have hurt the White Sox if they had lost that game.
Yeah, you know, the Yankees are in a very tough spot here. You know, they can't really afford to be losing games, but obviously, you know, they're playing a good White Sox team. More and more, it looks like the division is just going to be out of reach because they are 7 games out of the division. So they're really that remaining hope is the wild card. And they are only 2 games behind Boston. So, you know, they're in that at least.
Who would you say besides Boston would be a tough slot for them in the wild? Who else in contention is a wild card besides Boston and the Yankees? Toronto, maybe?
Well, you know, the A's hold the first wild card spot. They've got a 2-game lead on Boston. Then Boston has a 2-game lead on the Yankees, and the Yankees have a half a game lead on Toronto. And then it drops to Seattle, who's 4.5 out of the wild card. But yeah, I would think Toronto would be a tough matchup for either team. And you know, with the way Boston has slid, it could be a battle between the Yankees and the Blue Jays to see who gets that second wild card spot. Because you got to figure, if it's not Oakland, it's Houston. You know, one of those teams is going to get that first wild card spot.
Yeah, I don't see anybody passing Houston to win that division.
Well, Oakland is right there. They're only a game and a half behind, and they've won 7 in a row, so they're rolling. So they're right there.
But Houston seems so solid, and just whenever that lead dissipates a little bit, you see them go on a winning streak and take the game up to pick it up to a 3 or 4 game lead again, which has happened a couple of times during this season.
Yeah, well, you know, and they, you know, they have a very beatable Los Angeles Angels team they're playing. You know, they missed Ohtani, who pitched last night. But, of course, Oakland is facing Texas, who is the worst team. So, you know, they're both in really good spots to continue to win. You know, you just got to kind of see if either team can do it.
For the 1-game playoff, I'm sure the networks would love to see it beat Boston and the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, you know that's what they would be rooting for, you know, definitely. Is, you know, is that matchup that, you know, that's the matchup everybody loves for whatever reason. So,
yeah, and it could happen. It be a big, big shock to see that happen.
So, but yeah, and you know, I did want to ask you, while we were talking about Field of Dreams, have you seen the movie?
I have not seen the movie, although I did download it yesterday, and I'll have to watch it. I've never seen that movie. And it's, what, 32 years old?
Yeah, something like that. You know, I've seen it a couple times.
Yeah, I have not seen it. I'll have to see if it's worthy of the hype.
So, yeah, you know, like, I enjoyed it. It's not my favorite baseball movie, but it's, you know, I would guess, you know, if I had to rank it, it would probably end up in my top 10. But, yeah, I couldn't, you know, it's not on the top of my list like everybody seems to be talking. It is for them. So I guess it's just me.
I'm trying to think of some of the other ones I've seen over the years. The first baseball movie I saw was, I think, in 1948, The Babe Ruth Story with William Bendix, who was not much of an athlete, so I know it was not a very good movie. There was a comedy called It Happened Every Spring with Raymond Lamb, which is pretty decent. I remember seeing that one. And The Stratton Story with Jimmy Stewart. For the younger fans, Monty Stratton was a pitcher for the White Sox, and I believe he lost his legs in the Army in World War II, one leg at least, and he actually made a comeback and after the war ended, and pitched for a time for the White Sox.
So, yeah, like my favorite baseball movie is actually Bull Durham. That's, you know, if I was putting the list together, that would be number one. But, you know, there are some, you know, like I really like the original Jackie Robinson story. I actually like that better than 42, even though I do think 42 is a really good movie. I very much liked A League of Their Own. The Natural is a fantastic baseball movie. I'm trying to just kind of, you know, The Rookie, which is, you know, again, another really good movie. And then the one I really like that, you know, sad is just kind of, is whatever you want to describe it as, is Eight Men Out. So there, you know, well, there really are some.
White Sox scandal, right? Isn't that the one about the White Sox scandal of 1919?
Yeah. 1919, yeah. So, and then, you know, Moneyball.
Though, by the way, you mentioned the Jackie Robinson story, and I forgot. I saw that, too. When I was a kid, I remember that Jackie Robinson actually played himself in the movie, which is kind of unusual.
Yeah, and you know, the other one I've always enjoyed that I don't ever see on a lot of lists when it comes to, you know, the best baseball movie was the Lou Gehrig one. What is it? Pride of the Yankees, I believe.
Yeah, that's
it's called.
A classic. Yeah, that's correct. That's what's Gary Cooper, I believe, was in that movie, and Babe Ruth actually played himself in the movie.
Yeah, and you know, depending on like what you're into, I did catch a Netflix movie that was really good, and I found it here so I could get the name right. It's called The Battered Bastards of Baseball. And it tells the story about a Portland, Oregon minor league team and how they lost it and what they do to, you know, try to keep it or bring baseball back. It was one of the better Netflix movies I've actually seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one either. That's not a documentary.
Yeah, it was
an actual movie.
2014. Yeah, it was 2014, so it was a while ago when I saw it. But I really enjoyed it. And, you know, those are the kind of baseball movies. You know, like Moneyball I really enjoyed, even though you have to get over the fact that there's no happy ending because it's a true story and the A's lose in the end. Sorry for the spoiler there, but I hope everybody has seen it by now. So,
yeah, that was a quality movie. No question about that.
There are some really good, you know, and then, I mean, obviously if you're looking for, you know, just baseball comedy, you know, the original Major League is hilarious. You know, you got the Bad News Bears. You know, there are those, you know, what was the one here? Rookie of the Year was the one where the kid pitched for the Cubs. So, you know, you can find a lot of different stuff when it comes to baseball. So,
they even made a sequel they made a sequel to Bad News Bears, too.
Yes, yeah, and then they remade the original.
Yeah, I was never a fan of Walter Matthau, and maybe that's why I didn't care for that movie.
Yeah, you know, like I didn't mind it, and I know I'm leaving some movies out, but there are a lot of good, you know, baseball movies out there if you want to, you know, track one down or however you want to look at it. And, you know, Field of Dreams is definitely one of those quality movies. Like I said, it's just not, you know, it just wouldn't rank at the upper echelon of my list. But, you know, again, I'd say if I was putting one together, it would probably finish top 10. So
it sounds like there's a lot more baseball movies than any of the other major sports, like football, for example, basketball, hockey. I can't think of too many football movies.
No, there are way more baseball movies than any other sport, probably some of the sports combined.
That took place in jail. Remember that one with Burt Reynolds?
The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they remade with Adam Sandler, by the way. So
another one who's not one of my favorites.
Yeah, you know, there's, you know, something like when he does comedy, I enjoy it. But obviously, you know, if I'm looking for a football movie, you know, number one, I'm going to go to Brian's Song. No doubt about it.
Yeah, and of course, don't forget that Brian's Son was a made-for-TV movie.
Yeah, of all things. So,
the
football movies. You know, there's Remember the Titans, The Blind Side. You know, Rudy, they're all, you know, and all those, including Brian's Song, are all based on true stories. I know Rudy, Joe Montana finally admitted that they came out and took some liberties with some of the storytelling in that movie. But, yeah, you know, I mean, you can, you know, and obviously, you know, Friday Night Lights was not only a popular movie, but a very popular TV series.
Yeah, it lasted quite a few years.
You can find some quality football movies, but I think there's more baseball movies than anything. And, you know, there's a few hockey movies I can think of right off the top of my head. Of course, sadly, my favorite hockey movie is Slapshot, so that's not super serious.
Wasn't there also a movie based on the U.S. Olympic team that won that, to beat Russia? Yeah. Didn't they make a movie
about
that?
Yes, Miracle.
Yeah,
it's called Miracle. And then, you know, basketball would probably be the same thing. You know, if I was picking a basketball movie, it would be something like The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh or something. You know, Will Ferrell had that humorous, you know, about the, what was it, the ABA team. So, you know, there are, you know, movies on every sport that are entertaining. But, yeah, I think there's more baseball than anything.
Right. Hey, don't forget the original Space Jam with Michael Jordan.
Yes. So, which I actually did see, and I did enjoy it. I think it's a decent movie.
I haven't heard many good things about the sequel. The sequel's not
You know, I heard
a pretty good.
People who really liked it, but I haven't heard anybody who say it's better than the original. So,
well, that's what it usually happens. Even when they do a remake, usually the original is better.
Yeah, you know, in general. You know, that's kind of how it works out. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, on the plus side, it ended up being a really fantastic game for baseball, and I know they're going to do it. Apparently, this is going to become a yearly thing, and I know it hasn't been officially announced yet, but David Ross kind of let the cat out of the bag. I guess it's going to be the Cubs and the Cardinals next season.
Well, maybe they'll change their mind about that one based upon the way the Cubs look nowadays.
Yeah, you do wonder if maybe they should wait a few years before they jump in and you know, put the Cubs back on a national spot like that. But to be fair, you know, even bad Cubs teams draw really good television ratings.
They do.
You know, it may, you know, still may not, and being the fact that it would be against the Cardinals, you know, that could be a big win. Again, another big ratings win.
Yeah, well, don't forget the Cubs have a lot of money to spend now in free agency, although I don't anticipate them doing anything to make themselves respectable again for 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, we shall see if they actually spend a little of that money or if they just kind of continue their whatever the heck they want to call this, rebuild, retool, re-whatever. It's just, you know, horrible. So
I understand the fans booed Jake Arrieta when he left the mound after the first inning in his last Cub game.
Well, he was terrible, so they probably should have, and then he was released right after that game. So, you know, again, it just, for whatever reason, just didn't work out. You know, I mean, he wasn't even competitive, and, you know, I'm guessing the only reason they even brought him back was because they traded Trevor Williams.
Yeah, probably so. And I have to ask you one question, your opinion about something. We're talking about the Cubs. Is Kyle Hendricks overrated as a pitcher?
You know, I wouldn't call him overrated, but what he's not that the Cubs keep trying to make him is a number one. You know, he's a very good major league pitcher. Obviously, he had a bad outing yesterday, but, you know, it seems like everybody had, you know, that happens to everybody. But yeah, he's, you know, he's not Greg Maddux, who they like to compare him to. He has similar qualities, but he's not Greg Maddux, you know, and he's just, he can't be that number one guy. He needs to be, in reality, probably a number three, but on this Cub team, he's the best they got, so he's the first, he's number one. He's
yeah.
the guy they run out there.
I think on a normal team, a normal contending team, I would think three is I agree with you there. I think he's probably a number three starting pitcher.
Yeah, you know, because he's the perfect guy to follow, you know. If he was to follow a guy like Jacob deGrom, who the Mets just announced is going to be, you know, his shutdown extended two more weeks, so I'm guessing not only are they in trouble, but his season is in trouble. You know, just the contrast of facing DeGrom one day and then Hendricks the next day would be really interesting to see how teams handled that. But, you know, the Cubs don't have that guy who goes out there and can just blaze like DeGrom can.
Right.
So, you know, there's no real setup for it.
That is not a very strong division, by the way, and it's still very close between the top three teams. But you think that the Mets are dead now, playoff-wise?
Boy, you know, two more weeks of DeGrom being gone, and that's just the shutdown. He's got to get ready. Yeah, I mean, they are only a half a game out, so I'd hate to start throwing dirt on them. But, yeah, they've managed to hang in, so maybe, but I would love to bet on them because they were my pick at the beginning of the year for that division. But, man, I don't know. It's so tough.
Yeah, it doesn't look good for them because, as usual, as has happened to them for the last 4 or 5 years, they just seem to get hit with very, very severe and serious injuries that impact their season.
Yeah, well, you know, and slowly they're getting their regular position players back, but, you know, they're going to put Noah Syndergaard in the bullpen, and they won't have Jacob deGrom, so they won't have their best two starting pitchers.
No, that's right.
So
I don't like their chances for making the playoffs when it's all said and done.
So, well, you know, and the tough part is their schedule doesn't really work for them. You know, like they're in a series right now with the Dodgers. Now it is in New York, so at least they have that going for them. But I believe after the Dodgers, I thought I saw the Padres come to town, or actually, no, it's the Giants. They go from hosting the Dodgers to going to San Francisco, then playing the Dodgers, then they come back home to host the Giants. So they go Dodgers, Giants, Dodgers, Giants. For their next 13 games.
That'll probably take them through August then, and then.
Yeah, almost to the end of August. So it's gonna be a make or break 2 weeks for the Mets here.
Well, I don't like their chances when
they
play those teams.
So yeah, no, it's not. Not going to be good. Now, on the plus side, though, when they wrap up that, then they go Nationals, Marlins, Nationals, Marlins for 13 games. Or 14 games, because they have a doubleheader with Washington. So they, you know, if they can somehow play 500 baseball or even one game below against the Dodgers and the Giants, they could spin that into a big streak after that. It just, you know, we're going to have to, you know, it's just going to be an interesting month here for the Mets to see how things play out, but it's make or break time for them, no doubt.
Yeah, you're definitely right. And I have a feeling that the winning team in that division, the team that wins the division, is not going to win more than 82, 83 games at the most.
Yeah, well, you know, the Phillies are five games over 500 now. They've been playing better. So, it's possible it may be like 85, 86, but it's definitely not going to take 90 wins to take that division.
No way.
So, You know, and the other thing, you know, both the Mets and the Phillies have to worry about is the Braves are coming on. The Braves are starting to play better. So,
right,
you know, they're only, I think, they're a game and a half out. So
yeah,
it
the
is
only way
possible
those three teams make the playoffs is if they win the division. Because they're not going to, either the other two teams are not going to qualify as a wild card.
Yeah, and, you know, unless one of them can get hot and can run off, you know, 10 in a row at some point to get themselves back in, you know, back in. Well, the problem is if you run off 10 in a row, you're probably going to win the division, so you'd need two teams to do it. Yeah, because, yeah, the Mets are 5.5 out of the wild card and the Braves are 6. So
that's a lot of ground to make up in mid-August.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long way there to get in. And just so you know, the Cubs are only 14 out of a wild card spot, so they can get back in it.
Oh, yeah. But I'll be looking forward to seeing them make that strong climb based upon their current lineup they have right now.
So, yeah, it is it's always interesting to see what that lineup's going to be and how many guys I don't know when it comes on.
Exactly. Is Javi Baez still injured, by the way? I haven't checked lately.
You know, I don't know if they put him on the IL. Let me double-check here and see if they have him listed as being on the IL. But, yeah, that figures, you know, the Mets go out and make a trade, and then he gets hurt too. They have him listed as day-to-day. But I do not believe he is in their starting lineup tonight, so he must still be banged up.
Out of the three Cup players that were dealt, I think he's done the worst worse than Bryan, of course, a lot worse than Rizzo, who's off to a terrific start with the Yankees before the COVID.
Yeah, well, you know, and obviously the injury doesn't help here. Yeah, no, he is not in the lineup tonight, so he is still out with his injury. So, but yeah, he, you know, just again more, you know, more bad luck for the Mets there. But you know, again, they're only a half game out, so we'll see if they keep.
Yeah, close.
You know, somehow keep hanging her.
I'm sure the fans weren't happy when he went 0-for-5 one game and didn't struck out every time.
No, well, you know, I mean, fans never like to see that, no matter who the player is, and unfortunately, we get a lot of that now. Not so much 5-for-5, but you know, we get a lot of 0-for-4s with 4 strikeouts in baseball now. That's just the nature of the beast with the analytics and home runs being so important that, you know, that's just how it is.
I got a kick out of the Cub announcers making excuses when they strike out 15, 16 times a game. Well, that pitcher was really dealing tonight. And it was one of his best performances of the year.
Yeah, well, you know, that's their job, right? They have to cover for the team.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll, you know, again, it's just one of those situations that you get, and you know, sadly, it's baseball now. You know, you get the whole, hey, you know, we're going to strike out a bunch, and hopefully hit a lot of homers.
Yeah, exactly. So are you going on the record right now and saying that the Cubs will not make the playoffs for 2021?
Yeah, no, I do not see the Cubs finding their way into the playoffs. So I would go on record as saying that. So.
Well, they could catch Pittsburgh, though, but it's unlikely.
Yeah, it is possible.
It is.
They could end up. So you would like to think not, but there is a slight possibility that could happen. I don't know how many games out of the cellar they are there. So, but yeah, they.
I did see a couple of the writers saying it's possible they could lose close to 100 games this season.
Yeah, well, you know, that would be unfortunate. I think a lot's going to depend on, you know, scheduling and who they run into. And, you know, as teams drop out, you know, the games become a little less important and they'll start playing their younger guys as well. So I don't know, you know, 100 might be a stretch there. But, yeah, you know, it is always
possible.
I mean, they have 5 now. They are 10 games ahead of the Pirates, so I would like to think they're not going to slide into the cellar.
Right.
But, you know, again, you do never know.
I'm going to be very interested to see what kind of a crowd reaction there's going to be for the 2022 Cubs convention.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I honestly, I don't care about that kind of stuff. I mean, they're, you know, I mean, if they run enough old timers out there, the people will forget what's going on. So,
have you noticed, by the way, that David Ross looks a lot older since he took over the Cubs' managerial duties?
Yeah, well, he should. You know, with the year they've had and the things they've done, and you know, and again, you know, to be fair about the trades, they weren't winning with Bryant, Rizzo, and Baez.
That's correct.
So dealing them, you know, I mean, at least they got something in return before they all possibly walked away for nothing.
Yeah.
So it's not like they were going to win the division or go to the playoffs or get a wild card or whatever you want to look at it as. They were losing with them. Now they're just losing without them.
Right, and they were in fourth place with them, and they'll probably wind up fourth place without them.
Right. So, you know, it's, you know, and I get it. It's the nostalgia of, well, you know, they were all here when they won the World Series. Yeah, but if they would have been smart about it, Bryant would have been gone when they could have really gotten value for him instead of, you know, some real low-tier prospects. So.
Yeah, you know, I haven't already paid all that much attention, but how has Bryant done since he was dealt to the Giants? Has he been respectable? As usual?
If I remember correctly, he's doing decently. They had him ranked today, actually. I can't remember what website I saw it on, but they had the 3 former Cubs ranked by what they have done. Here you go. Bryant is hitting, he's played 11 games. He's hitting .279 with 1 homer and 4 RBIs. He does have 4 doubles as well, and he also stole the base. So, yeah, he's doing all right.
I don't think he's ever going to be the breakout star that everybody thought he was going to be.
You know, the injuries really seem to have knocked him off track. I do wonder if maybe he's healthy. We see the guy who won the MVP again. But, you just never know.
No, he'll always be a 260, 270 hitter, and maybe he'll hit 20 home runs, 25 home runs, and knock in 70 runs, but not the great superstar that we all thought he was going to be. Not to say he's not a good ball player.
You know, I mean, now that he's no longer a Cub, he may end up doing a lot better than that. That just kind of seems to happen. So.
But I'm sure Rizzo's average must be higher than Bryant's before he was taken out of the lineup.
Rizzo's actually was hitting .281. He does have the 3 bombs and 6 RBIs. Oddly enough, he also has a stolen base. And Javier Baez is hitting 171 with two home runs.
Wow. That's a disappointment to the Mets, I'm sure.
You know, but, yeah, I don't know. I'll see if he managed to steal a base as well, because that seems to be the thing. No, he does not have a stolen base, so he's the only one without a stolen base. But they've all homered.
Right, right. Yeah, Baez is just, I don't know, seems to have regressed badly this year.
Yeah, he got off, you know, for a while he looked okay, but with the Mets, he just looks way off. And I'm not sure why or how or what the reasoning behind it is, but you do wonder if maybe being on a contender, he's pressing, but
possibly,
who knows?
But his lack of plate discipline is really appalling, though. I mean, yeah, he can hit the ball a long way, but he's got to be a little bit more selective at the plate, but I don't think it's ever going to happen, I suppose.
No, you know, and the issue with that, of course, is the fact that that's just the way it is now. You know, I mean, when you look at, you know, the guys out there, you know, I mean, Shohei Ohtani's going to be the AL MVP. He struck out 136 times. The Yankees were so excited to get Joey Gallo. He's tied for the lead in baseball with 148 with Matt Chapman.
And you're pretty much an expert in this. Maybe you might know. Is there any ball player over the last, say, 4, 5, 6 years that has hit 30 to 40 home runs who hasn't struck out a heck of a lot like most of the other ones do?
Boy, not, you know, off the top of my head, I would seriously doubt it, because that's a lot of home runs to hit. And, you know, maybe Mike Trout, it's possible he may have done it in, you know, one of his years, because he, I know there were some seasons he had a lot of strikeouts, but he did kind of curb that. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of any other big-time home run hitter who would have done anything close to that. Now, Trout did have a year here. Let me see what year it was. 2018, he hit 39 home runs. He batted .312. He walked 122 times and struck out 124. So he did still strike out a lot, but his walks were almost equal to that.
Yeah, you would think that some of these hitters would be smarter and be more situational hitters, even though they're a long ball hitter, when they have two strikes on them. But it doesn't seem to happen. It just does not happen.
No, you know, unfortunately, you know, with strikeouts no longer mattering, nobody looks at situational hitting anymore. It just doesn't play into the game like it used to.
Which is unfortunate, really unfortunate. I mean, you would think a player would do better than that, and it makes for a very tedious game, and there's just so many strikeouts.
Yeah, well, you know, the sad part with it all is it's a way to help your team win. You know, I mean, if you've got two strikes and there's a runner on second and you ground out to the second baseman, well, that runner goes to third.
Yeah.
So now he's only 90 feet away from scoring. But everybody's convinced, and I've heard that idiot Brian Kenny actually say this on the MLB Network, that it doesn't matter if the runner's on second or third because he's going to score on a hit anyways, which we know is not always true because it's not the easiest to score from second on a single.
No, depending on how hard hit the ball is to the outfield, it doesn't always happen.
Right. But he's convinced it does, and, you know, just too many people listen to him because he likes to talk his analytics and, you know, he gets all excited about home runs and he doesn't care about strikeouts. And, You know, he's also the guy who said RBIs are lucky. You know, you're lucky to drive a run in. Yeah, like it's really lucky to get a base hit with a runner in scoring position. There's a lot of luck involved there, idiot. So.
I still enjoy seeing a batter run from first to third on a single.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, like, I like a nice, you know, hit and run. You know, it's always nice to see that executed well. Or, you know, what I get a kick out of now is watching the guys who can actually do it is when they shift on you, hit the other way and get these easy base hits.
And why don't they do that?
Well, you know, what I keep hearing is because home run hitters get paid and guys who hit for high average don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure that if a guy winds up hitting 340 with eight home runs, I think he's going to get a nice paycheck.
Yeah, you would think, right? You know, you would think there's a team out there that would be smart enough to realize that having this guy in your lineup would help you win. But, you know, I guess we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I would love to see some higher averages and less strikeouts, but I fear that it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, maybe we'll see it if baseball gets its way and pushes the mound back.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to see that happen either. I mean, it's been, 60 feet 6 inches for a long, long time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it would be really stupid if they did something like that, but they have a tendency to do stupid things. So...
I think the only thing that's going to happen is that we'll see the DH in both the National and American League after this, the next CBA. I think we'll do away with the seven-inning doubleheader things and the runner on second base in an extra inning game.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, and my guess is that the union is going to push for the service time to be changed. So
yeah.
We don't have to deal with like the Bryant situation or, you know, Mikel
right.
Franco when he was
exactly.
with the film. I have a feeling we're going to see that.
You think it's going to be contentious, the next CBA? You think it's going to be it's not going to be settled quickly?
Yeah, I don't think so. I've heard a lot of – there are people who actually think we're gonna get a stoppage.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if there is a stoppage, I could see that being detrimental for baseball for years and years to come because the fans are just not going to tolerate it this time.
Yeah, it would be really stupid, again, if they did this, but we're talking about, you know, a league that's done a lot of stupid stuff and, you know, this is part of the reason why they're in the position they're in. So,
I think the last time they were fortunate, the league, that the fans were kind of alienated about the work stoppage, but I believe the McGuire-Sosa battle got the fans interested in baseball again.
Yeah, and let's face it, that was more or less set up by Major League Baseball because they knew they were taking whatever they were taking and they just allowed them to continue to do it because it was helping them.
Yeah, yeah, and it's unfortunate what they've done to themselves because I don't know if you ever noticed a picture of Sosa side by side before he was on the roids and his neck is, what, three times the size that it was when he was before that happened?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen him in a while. Last time I saw him, he was doing the skin whatever he was doing where he was basically, you know, pale isn't even the way to describe it. I mean, he almost looked like an albino.
Yeah, I have not seen those pictures. But I guess he's okay financially. He should be at least, and living happily in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, you'd like to, you know, you'd, again, it's one of those things where you'd like to think these guys are, you know, okay. I know, you know, we do get the situation here and there where guys do throw away their money. It does seem to happen in the NBA quite a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
I think it would be a good public relations move for the Cubs to make, because obviously they're going to be down for a couple of years, to make amends with Sosa and bring him back to a convention.
Yeah, well, you know, you do wonder if maybe they've tried, you know, I mean, who knows what goes on behind the scenes, but, you know, maybe they've reached out to him and it just hasn't worked out.
If I started taking Flintstones, you think I could hulk up a little bit?
Well, probably not. I took Flintstones after my surgery. That was the vitamin they suggested, and it didn't help me. I actually just lost a bunch of weight, so I don't think you need to lose any weight.
Right. Well, don't forget, that's what Sammy used to say about what kind of vitamins do you take, Sammy? And he said Flintstones. This, of course, in the height of the steroid era. Always kind of found that kind of amusing.
You know, there were a lot of guys who, you know, made jokes about what they were taking and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, there's also the guys that talked about the clear and the cream, too.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, there were some guys who told the truth. So. You know, it didn't always go well for them, but there were guys who told the truth.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't happen very often. It just happened recently. And, of course, you mentioned, I think, last week or the week before, there's a player now got an 80-game PED suspension for – well,
yeah.
Of course, he didn't – he said he never took something like that, though. It was just accidental or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever excuse he made.
Yeah, and, you know, while I guess technically this guy isn't suspended, but I saw today that Trevor Bauer's leave has been extended another week. Why don't they just put us out of our misery and get rid of this guy for the rest of the year? Why do they keep doing this, like, week by week?
Yeah, I thought by now he would be suspended for the entire year and go forward from there, but it hasn't happened yet, and you think they'll bring him back in September? I don't know.
You know, a lot of the talk is that the Dodgers players don't want him back. So,
well, I've
you know, now
the
that
Dodgers
they got
Dodgers for saying that.
Do they need him?
So.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive statement coming from the Dodgers, because you know they could use a picture of his stature in the home stretch of the season.
So, yeah, you know, it definitely would probably help. You just kind of wonder, would it be more, you know, depending on what's going on with his situation, would it be more trouble than what it's worth?
Yeah, think about this, though. He's been out of action for quite a while now. He's got to get back in shape again. That won't be overnight.
Yeah. No, it's going to take time, you know, for him to, you know, to get back and get ready and, you know, to be anything. So, you know, you wonder if maybe that's the – you know, that's their out. You know, maybe he's just not going to be ready.
Yeah, well, that would be a good excuse. But I suppose we should say still it's allegedly things he did, but I have a feeling that those are true. Those are what happened, what the complaints are legit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about it to really kind of pick a side. You know, what is interesting to me is he has an opt-out or an option or something in his deal. So I believe if he wants to, he can actually come back year and collect a large sum of money. I'm going to double check it here and see see what the actual price tag on him is and what the option holds. But yeah, it's and I know the Dodgers genuinely don't care about money and that kind of stuff. But
we know that.
Yeah.
Is he still getting paid while he's been out, while he's been suspended? Is he still getting paid, or?
No, because he's on leave, I don't believe he is. But he actually has two more years on a deal with the Dodgers. He can opt out after this year, but his contract for next year is just a shade over $35 million. So I don't know why he would opt out. And then he could opt out again before 2023, but again, the contract is for a little over $35 million. So I don't know why he would opt out.
There must be something in the contract for moral values, or maybe the Dodgers can opt out for using that if it can be proven.
There is a conduct clause in sports contracts, I believe. But I don't know, if this would apply because it's off the field.
Yeah, that's true also.
So, yeah, it would be interesting.
And it'll keep
you
busy, too.
They could try and take him to court.
Yeah.
So, they would have some options there, but... Well, I guess we'll have to kind of wait and see how it plays out. Unfortunately for me, I ended up having him on just about every one of my fantasy teams this year because I was all in on him being with the Dodgers. So, yeah, it's really kind of blown up in my face. I guess I learned my lesson.
Yeah, well, you didn't know that this incident would surface.
Yeah, I didn't know he was a sexual deviant. Yeah, that's true. I didn't know that, so...
None of us did, really.
Well, let's make some picks here because you are rolling. You went 4-0 last week. Maybe I made them too easy for you. So you're now 55-46. So we are going to jump in tonight. Only one Chicago team in action. The Cubs are at the Marlins. Adbert Azalea takes the mound for the Cubs. He's facing Jesus Luzardo for the Marlins. Straight up, who wins the game?
I'm going to take a deep breath and say the Cubs will win on the road tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was wondering which way. God, I actually started to write Miami down. I thought for sure you were going that route. We'll make the change there. Now, we will jump to tomorrow, and I believe this may be a difficult pick. The other Miami team, the Dolphins, are here in Chicago to play the Bears. It's preseason game week one. Who wins, the Bears or the Dolphins?
Boy, there's so little to base my judgment on for a preseason game, but I'll pick the Dolphins to win that one.
All right. I was trying to think. I thought I saw that the Bears were favorite in the game, but, it's preseason, so that doesn't mean a whole lot. All right. Well, let's stick with Saturday while we're here. And obviously the Yankees are here in Chicago to play the White Sox. It's Jameson Taillon for the Yankees and Dylan Cease for the White Sox. Who gets the win there?
I'll go for the White Sox before a huge 37,000-plus crowd.
Yeah. Well, hey, they've actually been drawing some pretty good crowds.
They have.
So you figure with the Yankees,
I'm really glad
in town,
to see that.
Yeah, with the Yankees in town, you figure it would work out. All right. Well, we'll jump over to Sunday here. Obviously, the Cubs are still in Miami, and the White Sox are still at home here. It's the Cubs and the Marlins or the White Sox and the Yankees. Which two teams combined for more total hits on Sunday?
I'll go for the White Sox and Yankees.
Yeah, I kind of thought you were going to go that route. I wasn't sure if you would try to sneak one in and think maybe that the bad pitching would allow more offense in the Cubs Marlins game, but no, it's not gonna buy that one, huh?
No. I have my one upset special for tonight, and we'll see how that one turns out.
All right. Well, you know, then you know what I am wondering is how much of the Bears game are you going to watch tomorrow? It is a noon kickoff.
Oh, I didn't know
it does have an
early. I might watch a little bit of the game. I might watch the first half.
So yeah, I haven't. You know, I'll probably turn it on while the starters are in and watch the first couple series and, you know, see how things kind of look. But, yeah, I'm not going to, you know, not gonna watch the entire game.
Who's covering the game tomorrow, TV-wise?
You know, I'm guessing it's going to be one of those things where we get it on Channel 50 because I believe it's an NFL Network game.
Ah, okay.
So generally when that happens, we get it on, you know, one of the other channels. But, yeah, I don't know for sure who's going to be showing it.
I'm wondering why they scheduled a game for noon tomorrow. That's unusual for an exhibition game. It's almost always at night.
Yeah, they've scheduled a few of them like that, and I'm wondering if wondering if the Players Association stepped in and, you know, kind of said, hey, let's get some of these games earlier.
Is this the only exhibition game now the Bears are going to play? Early?
No, there's actually 3 weeks scheduled. I was kind of surprised that I thought they were only going to play the one. But, yeah, apparently we're going to get more than one.
Plus a 17-game season when the official NFL starts.
Yeah. So,
is betting for all these various sites is betting permitted on an exhibition game? Football game.
Yeah, you can bet on them just like any other regular season football game. And there are people who do it.
That would be very, very difficult to bet on those games.
So, yeah, like I mentioned to you before, the Bears are actually favored to win this game. Let me see if I can find the spread here really, really quick. Right now they are a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising, don't you think?
Well, they're at home, you know, so.
That's it. Maybe that gave them 3.5 points. I wonder what kind of a crowd they'll have tomorrow for the game.
Yeah, well, like the over-under for the game is 35.5. That's a lot of points for an exhibition game.
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I don't see them going over.
Yeah, well, that would be one thing. If I was betting on something like that, I would probably take the under. So.
Yeah. You notice that in the exhibition games, usually there's a lot of scoring, but only in the fourth quarter. It seems like there's a lot of points scored.
Yeah,
then.
We're basically going to end up getting cut. We get the... up with the ball. Look at that. All of us here is 2-9 and a 2-5. Twitter and a post that you all think I am.